Hey church, so glad to be with you today. My name is Lydia Long, and I'm so glad that you clicked on this video and that you want to engage in service today. Just wanted to remind us with kind of the burden of this week. Some of us may be coming into service with some heaviness. And I was just reading in Matthew about the rich young man who came to Jesus and asked him, "I've already done the commandments, what else do I need to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus told them to sell all of your things and give to the poor and follow me. And the text said that the rich young man walked away grieving. And I was just thinking about some of my friends who may be walking away from Jesus right now, holding their grief. And I just wanted to encourage you, don't walk away. Bring your grief to Jesus. Bring your grief to the church. Bring your grief here. This is a safe community to walk together and to support each other. And so Jesus wants to walk with you in whatever you're experiencing this week, whatever you're bringing into service, Jesus wants to walk with you in that. Such a joy to worship with you guys. We're going to move our worship into giving and generosity. And so you can go to lifechurchreno.com/give for ways to give. And again, we're just grateful for your generosity and continuing to worship the Lord through trusting him with finances and trusting him with generosity and being the church in our community and our world. And I'm excited to go into worshiping as well through the hearing and teaching of God's word. So Pastor Dave is going to be preaching today. You can go to the YouVersion app on your phone, either Android or iPhone. You can find the YouVersion app. Just search events for Life Church Reno. You can follow along in the sermon and take your own notes as we go. And let's hear from Pastor Dave.
It's the second week of January. I imagine most of us began the year by making some New Year's resolutions. And we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about a little bit of this. And I don't know what kind of resolutions you might have made. Resolutions are a tricky thing. I found a few funny things on the internet I just want to show you. Check out this meme. It says, "I don't call them New Year's resolutions. I prefer the term casual promises to myself that I'm under no legal obligation to fulfill." I think sometimes these resolutions feel like that. Here's another one. "My New Year's resolution is to stop putting my foot in my mouth all the time. I'll bet yours is losing weight, huh?" Sometimes we find ourselves breaking resolutions as soon as we make them. Here's another one. One guy says to another, "So, New Year's resolutions, you go first." "I've resolved to stop being judgmental of others." The other guy says, "I've resolved to start using herbal remedies instead of going to the doctor." The other guy says, "I just broke my resolution." Here's the last one, which I think can inspire all of us. "My New Year's resolution is to love myself like Kanye loves himself and to believe in myself like Kanye believes in himself." It's easy to laugh at New Year's resolutions. And but here's the thing about New Year's resolutions is if we're not careful, what they can really become is an exercise in self-effort, where really it's simply about us trying harder and putting forth more effort, which isn't all bad in of itself, but when taken to an extreme, what can happen is usually we end up failing and feeling bad about ourselves. Or if we end up succeeding in something that's all about self-effort, it can lead to an unhealthy or even sinful kind of pride. And so over the next few weeks, we're doing this series called The Resolution Revolution. And really what I want us to begin to think about is instead of putting all of our effort into resolutions, which aren't all bad, they can be helpful to set some goals, but what if we really thought more as we approach a new year or a new phase in our life, a new season, instead of setting resolutions, what if we really thought more about having prayers that would really define the year for us? And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three different powerful prayers in the Bible, two from the Apostle Paul, one from Jesus himself, and kind of looking at these prayers as sort of an example of how we might pray about this year. Really three prayers that can define this year for us. And the great thing about this is that instead of a resolution, which is primarily about me trying harder and more self-effort, really what we do when we focus on prayers, we're saying, "God, this year's about you. And if a change is made, it's going to be because of you and your help." And so here's the first prayer I want us to pray this year. "God, would you help me to know you more?" If you have your Bibles, go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 15. The Apostle Paul's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and then he just kind of goes into this prayer. It's one of two prayers that he prays for them in this book, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking," and here's the prayer, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." So wisdom involves this practical ability to act on what we know. And then revelation, this kind of this picture, this idea of really knowing God at this whole other level. He says, "I pray that that the Holy Spirit would give you this wisdom and revelation." Why? "So that you might know him," Jesus, "better." And so Paul's great prayer for this church at Ephesus, as he said, "Listen, I'm thanking God for you, and I'm praying every day that the Holy Spirit would reveal more of who God is to you so that you would know him better. I'm praying this for you constantly." And so our first prayer, and listen, these prayers are prayers that you could pray for yourself to define your own life. They're also prayers that you could pray for your loved ones. These are things, great things to pray for people you care about. This is what Paul's doing. He's praying this prayer that these people would really know God more. He's praying it for others. You could pray this for yourself, that you would know God more as sort of a New Year's resolution, so to speak. Saying, "God, this year more than anything, I just want to know you more." Or you could pray it for your kids. You could pray it for your spouse. You could pray it for a friend. This prayer in a nutshell: "God, I want to know you more." And he begins by talking about how his desire that they would know God more personally. And so really this prayer that Paul is praying for these people, that they would know God more, that the Holy Spirit would help them to have this sense of wisdom and revelation about who God is, that he's praying that they would know him more. It's the same thing that was Paul's greatest desire in his own life. We see this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul says, "But whatever were gains to me, whatever I thought life was all about, whatever I thought was success in my own life," he said, "but whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." But Paul says, compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is worthless. He says, "For whose sake I've lost all these things, I consider them garbage or even dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law." He says, "I realize it's not mostly about my own effort, it's about God's grace, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." And he says it again, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead." And so what Paul is praying for these people in Ephesus is the same thing that he said was his greatest desire in his own life, that he would know Christ. He says, compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is a loss. Everything else is worthless or garbage or even dung compared to knowing Jesus. And really, this is what Jesus prayed for us in John 17. It was right before he would go to the cross, Jesus said, "Now this is eternal life." Now, in the New Testament, that word eternal, which we primarily think of as meaning forever, really a greater translation would be the life of the age to come. Really, it's as much a qualitative thing as it is a quantitative thing. It's less that it goes on forever, although it does, but really it's speaking of this age when God's kingdom will come in all of its fullness. Every wrong will be made right and everything will be perfect as it was meant to be in the garden. And so what Jesus is saying, now this is real life, life to its full, flourishing kind of life, the type of life that will typify heaven and even the new earth, this life of the age to come. Now, this is eternal life. What? "That they may know you." This is Jesus talking to the Father, "the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So a great thing for you to pray for yourself this year And a great thing to pray for your loved ones this year would be to pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to me more and more that I might know you more this year? You could also pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, would you empower me to passionately pursue you more this year that I might know you more? So Paul prays that they would know God more personally. And then Paul also prays that let's look here at verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He says, I pray that you would really see and grasp. He says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. Paul here talks about, he says, I want you to be able to really see and grasp that this hope of your salvation, the riches of this inheritance of your salvation. Here's what he's praying for. Paul is praying that these people would know more of God's plans and promises. Now, when the Bible talks about hope, I've told you this before, it's more than the way we think of hope. We think of hope like I hope it all works out. I hope there's no traffic on the highway. I hope my team wins. But really, when the Bible talks about hope, it's really this confident expectation and the character of God, the goodness of God. It's really has a much greater sense of certainty than the way that we tend to speak about hope. And so what Paul is saying when he talks about the hope to which God has called you, when he talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people, here's what Paul's saying, big picture. He's praying that these people would really see and grasp and understand the wonder of salvation, both in this life and in what is to come, ultimately in eternity, in the age to come. So Paul's praying. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I pray that you'd really be able to see and grasp, that it would sink deep to the core of who you are, that you would really wrap your heads and your hearts around, that you would become transfixed and amazed by the wonder of the gospel, the wonder of this hope that we have in the gospel, this inheritance that we have in the gospel, the wonder of all that God has already done in our life in Christ, that the fact that we've been set free from the law of sin and death, of the fact that we've been transferred from a kingdom of death into a kingdom of life, a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, that we've been set free, that we've been forgiven, that we've been adopted into God's family, and then the fact that we've been received the Holy Spirit, the fact that we no longer have to fear death and hell, the fact that we're now joint heirs with Jesus. He talks about this inheritance thing. And so this, he uses this word hope and this word inheritance. We see this hope thing in Romans 8:23. He says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. He says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. He says, there's something inside of us that recognizes that we live in this broken, fallen world and that things aren't the way they're supposed to be and things aren't the way that they're gonna be. And there's something inside of us that's crying out for God to make everything right. He refers to it here as the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, talking about when Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ will rise. Everyone that's alive still as a follower of Jesus will meet Jesus in the air. And then what will begin will be this whole new age where everything is made new by Jesus. He talks about this as the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. He says, for in this hope, not wishful thinking, but confident expectation, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And so Paul says, hey, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you'd be able to see and grasp to the very core of who you are, that it would really become, would really capture your heart, that this wonder of the hope of the gospel, what God's already done in our lives in Christ, what is still going to come in the future. And he talks about that in the context of inheritance, because we're his children. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. because you are his sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. And so what Paul is saying is this. He says, man, I'm praying that you would know more of God's plans and promises, all that is a part of salvation, both present and yet to come, that you'd be able to see it, that you'd be able to grasp it, that it would capture your heart and your mind. And when that happens, everything begins to change in our life. So here's the thing. It's easy to say, well, hey, that's some good Bible talk, and that's great that Paul's saying that, but really, how is that going to make a difference tomorrow when I go to a job that's really hard, or next week when my spouse and I are having a fight? What difference does that whole hope thing and that whole inheritance thing, what difference does it really make? Here it is. See, knowledge of my hope an inheritance, knowledge of all that God has already done in my life in the gospel, and the wondrous, glorious inheritance that is still to come. Well, what that does is it helps me get through the most difficult seasons of my life. And for many of us, what would say that these last months are one of the most difficult seasons of our lives. And I know for me and for Claire, it's been a lot. All that it's looked like, just all the stuff with COVID and trying to navigate everything as a large family. And for me, trying to figure out what does it look like to lead a church through this pandemic and through the political climate and all of this, it's a hard time. And for you, it's probably been a hard time. But when I really grasp the wonder of all that God's already done in my life in Christ and the amazing, incomprehensible things he has in store for us helps me get through the difficulty. Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He says, even though outside circumstances couldn't be more challenging than they are, he says, on the inside, I'm fine. He's going to tell us why. He says, for our light and momentary troubles. Now, there's times where Paul recounts some of the things that he went through, talks about being beaten and stoned, and talks about times of hunger, times of not having any clothes to wear, times of being shipwrecked. We know that, but challenges like we can't even wrap our heads around, yet Paul here refers to them as these light and momentary troubles. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul says, hey, am I going through some challenges? Absolutely. And on the outside, things look terrible. He says, but on the inside, I'm okay. Because I know that ultimately these difficulties will be far outweighed by this incredible inheritance that I have, this eternal glory that is coming. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, all of us have a choice to make every day, every hour, every moment. Am I going to place my focus on the challenges around me, or that are temporary? Or am I going to place my focus, set my eyes on the wondrous glory of Jesus and all that he's already done in my life in the past, all that he's doing in my life in the present, and the future that is beyond imagination and how great it's going to be? What am I going to set my focus on? And so Paul says, hey, he says, on the outside things are terrible, but on the inside I'm okay because my eyes are fixed. This same prayer that he prayed for this church, that their eyes would be fixed, that their hearts would be illuminated to this hope and this inheritance, all that has happened for us in the gospel. See, here's the thing. The person, and we can all fall into this. I fall into this. The person that does not understand that their true hope is in Jesus will end up placing their hope in every wrong thing. But when I have true knowledge, when I really, not just a head kind of knowledge, but when it sinks deep to the core of who I am, when it captures my mind and my heart, when I have real knowledge and understanding of this hope, this inheritance, that these kind of this language that speaks of all the promises and goodness that is found in Christ, all of the wonders of the gospel, past, present, and future, this future inheritance. When I have true knowledge of this, what it does is it will keep me from chasing worthless pursuits. See, when I have a greater grasp of the glory of salvation and my eyes are fixed on what is promised to me in eternity, and what will happen is I will begin to recognize that the greatest successes in this life and the greatest achievements in this life and the greatest acquisitions in this life are temporary at best. And compared to the wonder of the gospel, what Christ has already done, what he's doing now, and what's ultimately going to come to pass in eternity, that these things are worthless. They're temporary. And compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, Paul talks about, he says that they are absolutely meaningless. And so when my heart is really transfixed with the wonders of what Christ has done, it'll keep me from chasing worthless pursuits, whether that's chasing possessions, whether that's chasing successes, whether that's chasing relationships. I believe that in part, what is tearing this country apart politically is it so easy for us, especially with the wonderful legacy of so much freedom and prosperity that so many of us have enjoyed in the history of our nation, although imperfect. It's no doubt been a place of freedom, a place where we've been able to worship Jesus freely, and we've been very comfortable to be a Christian, and there's so much to be grateful for. But what can happen when we begin to place our hope in a nation, we will certainly be disappointed. We talked a few weeks ago about, as followers of Jesus, that this is not our home, that we are exiles who are sent here from another kingdom, representing another king. Now, but that seeking, we still seek the prosperity of the place that we are, and we pray for it and look for good things and seek to be salt and light, but that our hope is not in a nation. And the thing is, if you place your hope in any nation, you will be disappointed. If you place your hope in any elected official or any political party or any legislative platform, you will be disappointed. And people on both sides of the political aisle have done it. And it's easy, if we're not careful, for Christians, for us to do. Here's what the psalmist says. He says, do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in presidents or senators or governors. Do not put your trust in princes, Psalm 146:3, and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, when they return to the ground, when their term is up, on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He, not a nation, not a political party or platform or candidate. He remains faithful forever. How do you know when you're putting your hope in the wrong things? Here's how you know. You know you've put too much hope in your job and your career and your success if when your job begins to go poorly, you lose peace and joy and the ability to love well. That's a sign that you put too much hope into that thing. You know you've put too much hope into your financial status. If when the 401k balance begins to dip, the bank balance begins to go low, things begin to feel tighter financially than you wish they would. If in that moment you begin to have less peace and less joy and less ability to love, not just people that are easy to love, but people that disagree with you, people that look at life differently than you. If when that happens, you lose that ability, it's a sign that you put too much hope into that thing. And the way you know, if you've gone beyond just caring about your country and praying for your country and being appropriately involved in the political process in that country, the way you know if you place too much hope in a nation, in a political party, in a candidate, or in a platform, is if when things don't go your way in those regards, if you begin to lose your ability to have peace and joy and to love like Jesus. See, that's why we place our hope in Jesus, because he is the one who will not disappoint us. When our mind is on our true hope, which is Jesus, when our mind is on his glorious inheritance for us, when our mind is on his plans and his promises in our life, nothing can take our joy and nothing can take our peace. And in the midst of the greatest challenges of life, we will be filled with this overflowing love, not just towards people that look like us and think like us and vote like us, but we will be filled with this overflowing love of Jesus. Paul prays, he says, I pray that you would know more about God's plans and purposes. I pray that you'd understand more of the essence and the wonder of this glorious gospel, all that has already happened for you in Christ, what he's doing in your life now, and this glorious inheritance that is yours in eternity. Here's the last thing that Paul prays for them. Great prayer to pray for yourself. Great prayer to pray for your kids. Great prayer to pray for your loved ones. God, I want to know more of your power in my life. Let me show you verse 19. He says, in his incomparably great power, that word power in the Greek is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. He says but his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Third thing Paul prays, he prays that they would know Christ more personally. He prays that they would know more of Christ's plans and promises, the wonder of God, this hope and inheritance. And he prays that they would know more of God's power in their life. And he says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And I don't know about you, but if I was writing this letter as the Apostle Paul to this church, I probably would have been more prone to saying, hey, the same power that spoke the universe into existence and caused from nothing existing to everything existing, that same power is living inside of you. But instead, what the Apostle Paul says is, he says, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. And what I like about that emphasis is this. Well, what Paul is saying to these people is, he's saying, this power that's living inside of you, this Holy Spirit power that's living inside of you, it's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And see, it's one thing to give birth to life. That is a miracle. That is a wondrous occasion, and it's a miracle, a new life. But it's a whole other level to resurrect something that's dead and bring life out of it. And I think it sort of speaks about this. When we think about God's power in our life, thinking about this idea that this Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit that brought life out of death, the Holy Spirit that brought victory out of what looked like the worst possible defeat, is living inside of us. And so as we pray this year, God, I want to know more of your power in my life, might we think about these areas of our life that feel maybe dead on the inside, or feel like areas were of defeat. Maybe it looks like this. Maybe it looks like a relationship that feels dead. Maybe as you consider your marriage in 2021, and part of you wonders, you're like, man, can we even turn it around? Maybe it's felt like it's been so long since it's felt like a relationship filled with life and love. And maybe a prayer this year for you might be, God, I want to know your power in this relationship that feels dead. Maybe for you, there's a sin in your life that has defeated you, where you've just felt defeated for years, where you just find yourself slipping back into the same old thing that you've confessed 1,000 times and tried to stop doing 1,000 times. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe you classify it as an addiction, and you just have felt so defeated by this addiction. And maybe a prayer for you might be, God, I want to experience your power in my life, bringing victory in this area that has been marked by defeat. Maybe for you, it's looked like depression that has felt overwhelming. Maybe, and it's not just the sort of depression that comes at you when you're tired at night. Sometimes I get that. A lot of times on Sunday night, I get the Sunday night tired and sad. But sometimes there's depression that lingers. I've experienced that before too. And maybe you say, you know what, I feel just this depression that I just can't shake. And maybe for you, it would be saying, God, could I experience your power this year in my life? And this area that feels like defeat, or even this area that feels like death, might I experience that same power in me, that Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead? And so I'd encourage you as we go into this year, hey, it's great to have goals. If you've got some resolutions, I've made resolutions before. Don't feel bad about that. But as much effort as you put into whatever was on that list of resolutions, I'd encourage you to put more effort into making this the cry of your heart. God, I want to know you more this year. I want to know you more personally. I want to know more of your plans and your promises, this hope, this inheritance, the wonder of the gospel, all that you've done in my life in Christ, all that you're doing now, all that is still to come, and the glories of eternity. And God, I want to know more of your power, your Holy Spirit power in my life this year. Let me pray for you. See, really what'll happen, this prayer that says, God, I want to know you more, has the potential to change everything about your life. Because when we pray, God, I want to know you more, see, to know God more is to love him more, because he's lovely. And the thing is, to love God more, then I begin to obey God more. Jesus says, if you obey me, you'll keep my commandments. And so really this simple prayer, God, I want to know you more, has the power to transform everything in your life. As you know God more, you begin to love him more, you begin to obey him more, therefore you become more and more and more like him, which is God's will for you in Jesus. And so, Father, would you make that the cry of our heart for this year, this prayer that Paul prayed for this church at Ephesus. God, would it be our prayer for our own lives? God, will we remember to pray it for those that we love, those that we care for, that they would know you more, that they'd know you more personally, that they'd know more of the hope and the inheritance that is ours in the gospel, your plans and promises in our life, and that we would know more of your power, that we'd pray it for ourselves, that we'd pray it for others, that it would be the cry of our heart this year. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Again, just love to worship with you guys through musical worship and giving and hearing God's word. It's been an awesome service. And so thank you again for joining us. I'd love to get to know you a little bit. You can find us on social medias like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search Life Church Reno. And that's a lot of great ways to connect and stay in the loop throughout the week. If you want to connect a little bit deeper, if you want to chat with me or one of our pastors, or you're interested in details about baptism, things like that, you can text the word LC Hello to 97000, and we'd love to connect with you. And also, if there's something specific that we can be praying for you this week, our staff, our elder board, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can text the word prayers to 97000, and we would love to join you and walk with you in whatever season you may find yourself in right now. So church, go out in the peace of Christ. Go out in the newness of life that God gives you through Jesus, and just live a life of kindness and peace and looking for ways to make a difference this week. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.